heart for a while. That woke him up, huh? All right, it must be sent now. And it's recording. We're making our first recording on the new recorder, new sound system back there. And this recording is going to be on a CD.
She will do it.
All right. Was that mine you're working on there? Okay. Next Sunday is Father's Day. Father's Day. I think some of my children might be here. They'd better be. They were here for Mother's Day. Poor kids. They got an obligation now. Let's open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 26. And we're acting like it's 110 outside. We've got the air conditioner going full blast. We've got the fans going up here. And if you get warm in this temperature in here, we can always open the windows. Amen. All right. So I hope you're comfortable. And so if you are, let's look here into the first verse of Isaiah chapter 26. Starts off, in that day. Well, we have to know what day that is, or this is meaningless to us, isn't it? In that day. When you read the context of this verse, the chapter before and the chapter after, you find out that this is the day of the Lord. Isaiah had a lot to say about the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord is the day when Jesus comes back. We believe that Christ is coming back to this earth and that he's going to reign for 1,000 years on this earth. And this entire chapter revolves around that glorious day and has to do with God's people, Israel, his chosen people here. Now, you'll notice as we read this, that this is the words of a song. This is a song that's going to be sung by the inhabitants of Judea, Israel, in the day that the Lord comes. Listen to it. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. Here's the words of the song. We have a strong city. Most likely that song refers to Jerusalem. A strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Salvation are the walls of this city. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Notice who's going to be entering in. Those who follow after the truth. The righteous who walk in the path of truth are the ones that are going to be entering in. And then verse 3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And then the admonition in verse 4, trust ye in the Lord forever. For the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Our strength is in the Lord, isn't it? Now, he talks about peace in verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. And there's going to be peace on earth, believe it or not. But not until the Prince of Peace returns, and that's Jesus Christ. When he returns, there will be peace on this earth. Now, that's the context of this. That's the words of this song. But I think that we can safely say that this is a promise that we can claim even today. And I'm going to tell you this by way of illustration, a personal illustration. Back in 1994, 19 years ago, boy, that it's a long time ago, but it doesn't seem that long. I was having some health problems. And I'd gone to the doctor and been diagnosed and all of this. Come to find out that my diaphragm, I didn't know I had a diaphragm until I went to the doctor. But a diaphragm is a little layer of muscle or something across your stomach that keeps your stomach down there where it belongs with your guts, and keeps it from getting up here in your chest with your lungs and heart and a few other important things that are up here. Well, mine had ruptured, and my stomach had moved up into my chest. Instead of being below my belt, it was above my belt up there. And I'll tell you, in doing that, you've got a pipe that goes down your throat, your esophagus or whatever it's called, and it goes all the way down. And when you eat something or drink something, the food and water goes down that pipe into your stomach. Okay? Well, if your stomach moves like mine did up here in your chest, it's going to kink that esophagus. And when it does that, it's just like, well, have you ever been out with your hose? Not one of these new hoses that they have now, but one of the old rubber type hoses, and you're running water out there, and all of a sudden you look and it's just dripping, and you look back and your hose has got kinked somewhere. Well, that's what happened to my esophagus. It got kinked, and I was having a hard time. So I go into the hospital, and they're going to operate on me. So I'm laying there, and they've already given me my shot that's going to knock me out. And a verse of scripture comes to my mind. Now, at that time, I could not tell you. I knew it was in the Bible, but I didn't know if it was anywhere between Genesis and Revelation. It was in there somewhere. And that scripture was this: Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. I didn't know where it was, but I claimed it as a promise. And with that on my mind, I went to sleep, and when I woke up, the operation was all over, and, you know, stayed in the hospital for about 5 days. Everything was all right. Everything went fine. But that was a recurring thought with me all the time I was in the hospital. thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. And he did. He did. He kept me in perfect peace. I claimed his promise. Now, I think today that there are a lot of people who need peace. This world needs it, that's for sure. We need it domestically and we need it internationally. Peace. And the absence of peace is evidenced by all of the stress and the strain, the worry and the fretting and the doubting and the lack of happiness on every hand. I don't think God intended his people to live that way. He wants us to have peace. Now there's another wonderful verse of scripture in Psalm 2 and verse 12 that says, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. You put your trust in the Lord and you're going to be blessed. And we need to learn the meaning of trusting in the Lord. We know the words, but do we know the lesson by experience, by personal experience? We trust in the Lord. The word trust is just like saying, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. The Old Testament word trust is synonymous with the New Testament word believe and faith. You can see how trust fits right in there. Trust in the Lord. The word trust, learn something tonight, it'll help you in days to come. It has a fourfold meaning. Trust. Trust means to take refuge in God. Good illustration of this, when Ruth, remember the book of Ruth in the Old Testament? When Ruth came from the land of Moab with Naomi, her mother-in-law, her husband had died, both their husbands had died in Moab. They came back to Bethlehem. Now, Naomi was getting up in years, and Ruth was still a young widow, so she went to work. And the only work that she could find was gleaning in the fields of Boaz. Boaz had a big acreage out here, and he had a big crop, and she went out there and got a job harvesting the crop in the fields of Boaz. Later on, he fell in love with her and they got married, but that's the rest of the story. But she was gleaning in the fields of Boaz, and Boaz told her, recorded in Ruth chapter 2, verse 12, he says, the Lord recompense thy work. Recompense means to repay. The Lord will repay your work, he says, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou hast come to trust. See how the word trust is used there? Because she was not an Israelite. She was a Moabite. And she'd come to Israel. And Boaz, who was, by the way, Ruth is in the genealogy of Christ. So is Boaz. And he was an Israelite. And he's telling her that she had come to trust under the wings of Almighty God. As a boy growing up on the farm, I remember sometimes there would be a storm coming. The old storm clouds would gather and the wind would begin to blow and the thunder began to roll and the lightning flashed and the rain came down and The little chickens that were out in the yard would run to the mama hen, and the mother hen would sit out there, and she would fluff up her wings and all, and her feathers, and those little chickens would gather under her wings and ride out the storm. And they were safely trusting under her wings. And that's what he's talking about here. Trust means to take refuge. Trust in the Lord. After all of those tornadoes and storms they've had back in the middle of our country, have an idea that a lot of people are going to start digging holes in the ground to crawl into whenever they see those storms coming. I can remember growing up only one time that we got so scared that we went down into the storm cellar. Only one time in my growing up days did the weather get so bad. Usually I could picture it now. My dad would go out and stand on the front porch out there and look at the storm. And he would he was a pretty good judge of a storm's character, and he could tell if it was getting bad enough that we should go to the storm cellar. Take refuge. And that's what God is to us. We take refuge under his wings. Trust also means to lean on him. You see this sometimes. You watch it. Somebody comes in and they got a little kid about the character of James Barker, you know, a little guy. And if he gets timid or he's scared of you, you watch what he does. He'll go to his mama or daddy and he'll reach around their legs and he'll hold on to them like that and look up at you like so. That's what you call trust. Whenever he clings to the body of a parent. And that's the way we are to trust in the Lord. We are to cling to him. Trust also means to roll over on God all the load that we ourselves cannot carry. The psalmist said he trusted on the Lord that he should deliver him. Trusting is giving God the problem that you can't solve. Trusting God is when you have something that is bigger than you are and you don't know what to do about it, you turn it over to the Lord and let him take care of it. God never meant for us to carry our burdens. We're to take it to him. Psalm 55 verse 22 tells us, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee." So if we have burdens, he doesn't want us to fret and worry about them. He wants us to take our burdens to him. In fact, somebody wrote a song. We've sung it around here a time or two. Take your burdens to the Lord and take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. And then the chorus goes on to say, leave it there, leave it there, leave it there. Don't pick it up and bring it back home with you. Leave it with the Lord. Now the fourth thing, trust means to stay upon the Lord. Over in Job, when Job was in his affliction, he had a friend. His name was Elihu. And he came to Job in all of Job's affliction, and he said, "Job, trust thou in him. Trust in the Lord." So when illness comes, when disaster strikes, when friends forsake you, when sorrow comes, we just keep on trusting in the Lord. Surprising what that'll do for you. Now, did you know that the greatest compliment that you can pay God is to trust him and to submit your life to Him. It's the greatest compliment you can pay Him. But I want us to look at this word peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. It's a peace in the midst of an unprecedented turmoil. Because in the context of this, we told you that before that great and notable day of the Lord comes, there's going to be a short time of trouble. Now, I'm not saying this to us Christians because we're going to be gone. God is going to take us out before that time of trouble. But for the Jewish people, the unbelievers, those who have not accepted Christ as their personal Savior, when they had the opportunity to do so, they're going to have a time that's called the Day of Jacob's Trouble. It's going to be of 7 years duration. It's going to be a rough time, and they're going to have to trust in the Lord. Isaiah in chapter 24, man, what a description he gives of that. Listen to these words. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty and maketh it waste and turneth it upside down and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. That's the people that live on it. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled. The inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard. Ever seen a drunk stagger out of a bar? That's the illustration he's using here. And yet, in the midst of this kind of calamity, the person who is saved and knows the Lord, who trusts in the Lord, he can have, did you see it? Perfect peace. It's pretty good. I read one time about an art contest that was being held, and the theme of the contest was that of peace. And people, the artists, were asked to draw pictures that depicted peace. Well, one of them drew a picture of a grandma-type lady sitting on the front porch in a rocking chair, glasses down on her nose like so, and she was reading her Bible. And underneath was the caption, peace. There was another one. Here was a mother, a young mother that was holding her infant to her bosom. Peace. The baby was asleep, resting on his mother's breast. The one that won the prize was a picture of a waterfall running over the rocks and falling for hundreds of feet. And right at the edge of the waterfall up here, there was a tree that was growing, and a branch reached out over that waterfall. And on that branch was a bird nest. And in that nest was a mother bird, and underneath her wings were her little birds. Her eggs had hatched, and she had her little birds there, and they were sleeping peacefully under that. In the midst of all of that danger, they had perfect peace. That's the one that won the prize, by the way. God gives us perfect peace in the time of great wrath. Before the finality of all things, the Bible tells us that God is going to pour out his wrath upon this world because of its sin. Now, we're seeing a lot of that today. Man is having his day today, but pretty soon God's going to have his day. Today, they're doing all sorts of things against God, getting by with it. They're persecuting God's people. They burn his word. They blaspheme the name of his son. They destroy his churches. They ridicule the Bible. That's man's day. But God's going to have his day. Peter spoke of it and he said these words, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. And he says it will be a day wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. God's going to have his day. The Bible says it'll be a day of wrath, the likes of which this world has never seen. He tells us that the stars will fall from heaven, that the mountains shall crumble, the oceans and the seas shall be turned to blood. It's going to be a terrible time. And in the book of Revelation, it says the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? Well, we know who's going to be able to stand. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. This is a perfect peace. You see the word perfect in there? Everything about Jesus is perfect. Amen. His peace is perfect. He said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. He had perfect peace. And that perfect peace is given to us. It's a peace, the Bible says, that passes all understanding. You can't explain it. It's perfect. In him there are no internal conflicts. The source of this peace comes from him. It is his peace. It is not wealth, because money cannot buy it. It's not worldly success, because you can't earn it. Job's friend Eliphaz said to him, he says, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. You can't beat that. Be at peace. Peace with God, peace with the world, peace with yourself, and God will keep you in perfect peace, and good shall come unto thee. The peace of God. Now, think about this. That peace of God is made available to us. It's like salvation. We have to claim it. It can lay there and rot, so to speak, if you don't pick it up and use it. God has made it available to us, and we can have that perfect peace. I want to give you six times in the New Testament where God is spoken of as the God of peace. That's his name. Hebrews 13:20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. It's the God of peace, the one that raised Jesus from the dead. Romans 15:33. Now the God of peace be with you all. Romans 16:20. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Philippians 4:9, the God of peace shall be with you. And in 2 Corinthians 13:11, finally, brethren, Paul is writing, he says, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, Paul says. It's a rule of life. The peace of God ruling in our hearts. And it's a peace that knows no end. Thou, God, will keep him in perfect peace. Think of that word, keep. It's not a here today, gone tomorrow thing. It's a permanent. It's not dependent upon environment, not dependent upon circumstances. It is a perpetual, constant, abiding, unchanging peace of God that comes by trusting. I like what Paul said in Philippians 4:6-7. He says, be careful for nothing. The word careful means anxious. Don't worry about anything. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. As a result of that, what happens? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I haven't been over there, but I've read a lot about it, and the old castles that they used to have, I guess they still have them over there in England and other parts of Europe. They built those castles. Man, they were like fortresses. A lot of them had moats around them. And when the enemies tried to come against the castle, they had a hard time getting in. They had to cross over the moat. They had to climb the walls. Back in those days, they were on top of the walls. We could rain down arrows upon the enemy and pour hot oil on them and all things like that, you know. They were protected inside those walls. But one thing they had to have, and that's water. So inside the castle, many of the castles had this. They didn't have they didn't get out here and dig a ditch and divert some water from the river to come in there. Because if they did that, the enemy could get out there and cut their water supply off, and they'd be in there in that castle and they wouldn't have any water. So they dug wells inside the castle. The enemy could stay out there as long as he wanted to. I think Jerusalem, one time, Nebuchadnezzar or somebody came against them there. It was about 3 years. They kept them pinned up inside the walls of the city because they had an inexhaustible supply of water on the inside that the enemy did not have access to and couldn't cut it off. And that's kind of like peace is. We have the peace of God, that well within us. We have that peace available to us. God says that we can have it. All we have to do is to trust Him. Trust in the Lord. And let that peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your souls and your minds in Christ Jesus. God's good. He's made provision for us, His people, to have peace. And there may be a circumstance come into your life whenever you will remember some of the things that this preacher's told you tonight, and some of these scriptures that comes from the Word of God. Thank you for listening. We're glad that you came. And let's stand together and we'll be dismissed in prayer. And as we pray tonight, Brother Gene, will you dismiss our service, please?
Thank you, Lord, for your words of wisdom and your words of comfort, Lord, and your forgiveness, eternal peace and peace of mind. Lord, our Father, we just love them on you. We need prayer and fasting and our own work. We might have what you have us to do. Bless the church, Lord, people who are sick. Lord, bless your brother Brian. And if that's true, your Lord, come to me and there's many others, Lord, I haven't mentioned. Praise the blessing, keep them well. Give them our nation, Lord. There's one thing that I pray for more than anything else, and that is that the spiritual revival of this country, that people come before Jesus comes again, that souls may be saved, and lives changed, and a nation changed back to Christ, and the heathens and the liars should be thrown out of office. Thank you for everything you've given us.
Amen.